Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
So last night, the Kansas City Royals started what I think is going to end up being the most important stretch of the season. 16 straight division games. The reason should be obvious as to why that's important. If you want to win your division, the best way to do it is to take care of the teams that you're directly competing with to win that division. And it didn't start off so great. Royals lost 9-1 to the Twins in a game where Brady Singer left early. He got hit in the back of the leg by a line drive. We'll just kind of have to wait and see what's going on there. But that's just a tough way to start. It's a tough start to the game, and Santana came in, got knocked around a little bit. They didn't have it. The Twins were the better team last night. The Royals bullpen wasn't great. Wade Davis looked pretty bad, and they got blown out. That's one thing I've noticed about the Royals this year. They're currently 15-9, sitting atop the AL Central. I'm not a huge run differential type of guy. Although it's pretty amazing how the White Sox are plus 29 in run differential. That's third in Major League Baseball behind the Dodgers and the Astros. The Royals are 17th at minus 2, and the Royals have the better record. And here's why. The Royals, when they've lost this year, they've gotten beat pretty good. You know, 10-3 to the Angels. They lost 7-2 one night to Tampa. 14-7 to Tampa, I believe. And then last night to the Twins, 9-1. So when they've gotten beat this year, they've gotten beaten pretty good. I think the Blue Jays had a pretty decisive win as well at the K. But the Royals, they've hung in there. They've won a couple one-run games. They've come from behind five times to win this year. They've got two walk-off wins. There's some resiliency there. There's some grinded attitude, trying to figure out ways to win games, and I like that. Not everybody's going to be the Dodgers, who can just blow anybody out at a pretty alarming rate, the way they've been doing it. But the Royals have a better record than the White Sox, who are plus 29 in run differential. That's really good. That is, like, crazy good. The Royals are minus 2. It's pretty remarkable. The starting pitching has been pretty dang good so far. Danny Duffy leads Major League Baseball in ERA through four starts. He's got 47 strikeouts and a whip of 1.04. It's pretty good. Pretty dang good. He's off to the best start of his career, and I'm all about this resurgence of Danny Duffy, who has been, you know, criticized a lot. He's been through a lot in Kansas City. But I looked it up. He's actually 22nd all-time in Royals franchise history in wins above replacement. 22nd. That's pretty good. This is a big, big 16-game stretch for the Royals. I thought 10-6 would be pretty good. I would sign up for that right now if they can go 10-6 over these next 16 division games, or 15 now. They lost the first one to the Twins last night. If they could do that, they're setting themselves up for a pretty good June. And I really like where this team is. They're finding ways to win games still. Just gotta have some better performances at the plate. There's been some duds in there where they really haven't had any run support. And like I said, their losses have been bad, which is a little concerning. They haven't really lost any close games, but they've won their close games. So I don't know. It depends on which side you want to look at that from. When they lose, they're getting blown out. When they win, they're winning close. I'll take the winning close, obviously. It's just pretty remarkable where they are at a minus 2 run differential right now in the season. All right, so with the NFL draft, and we'll get to what the Chiefs have done in the second round here in a minute, but interesting story. Obviously, the Aaron Rodgers stuff with Schefter coming out with the reports that he is disgruntled with the way things are going in Green Bay, and this has been going on for quite a while now with Rodgers. And look, he got the right coach in there. He got LaFleur in there. That's the guy he wanted. So they not only made a hire for a good coach, but a guy for that Aaron really wanted in there. And that's kind of how it goes. When you've got a franchise quarterback and you're trying to hire a new coach, that guy has a big say, if not the entire say, of who's going to be in there. When you've got a franchise quarterback, a future Hall of Famer, guy that's won a Super Bowl, you're going to listen to him, and you're going to want to keep him happy with the hire, especially the way things had gone in Green Bay with McCarthy the last few years he was there. So, but it, and credit to Aaron, he didn't say anything about this on draft day. He didn't want to make it about him. Schefter had to come out with the report, but it just it took a front seat to a lot of guys having their dreams come true and having their name called. And you know, you're watching the ESPN broadcast, and half the time throughout the first few picks, they're discussing trade possibilities. He might go to Denver. What could possibly happen with Rodgers? And when you add that to the fact that five quarterbacks were taken in the first 15 picks, a lot of guys are going to get overshadowed. And one of those guys that was overshadowed was J.C. Horn from South Carolina, who was the son of Joe Horn, the former great wide receiver in the NFL. And Joe Horn had some things to say about how the coverage was done and how he didn't feel like his kid got the spotlight he deserves throughout that first round, considering he was the first defensive player taken at 8th overall to Carolina. And that's special right there. Being the first defensive player taken is a big deal. And look, you've got Trevor Lawrence, you've got your quarterbacks up there that you knew that were going to be gone, that were going to be talked about a lot. So I understand that. But I mean, Joe Horn's right. His son really didn't get the attention on the broadcast that he probably deserved. Now, you can take this from a couple different angles. You can agree with me, or you can say, well, big deal, he's about to become a millionaire, he's going to be an NFL player, who cares if he's not getting it right now? I get that. I think the distraction with the Aaron Rodgers thing was valid. And I could see how, as a father, not as a former player, but as a father who is seeing their kids' dreams come true. And a lot of dads don't get to see a dream come true like on this level for their kids that Joe Horn is going through right now. I understand that. I totally do. The Rodgers thing was a total distraction, and I didn't like how that broadcast was going. There were a few things I didn't really like about the draft. I wasn't a big fan of Roger Goodell bringing a fan up and having him or her sit on the chair while their team's making a pick. I thought that was a little silly, and the idea behind that was, you know, we didn't have fans at the games last year. The fans are what makes the NFL work. I understand that. I understand what he was trying to do. It just looked kind of cheesy. And the fact that he was walking up on stage and showing that fan the draft card of who their team was picking, I don't know. I thought that was just a little weird. And then the photo opportunities and stuff, whatever. But I didn't like how the broadcast was going. And I really just didn't. I think some of the kids were overshadowed a little bit, and you just don't like to see that. So that's just a quick little thing on what I thought about the presentation of the draft and how it went down on Thursday night. So the Chiefs' first two draft picks are in the second round. This happening yesterday, recording this Saturday morning. They're about to be on the clock here again for their third round pick. But they got Nick Bolton, linebacker out of Mizzou. A lot of people very familiar with him. Very, very, very good college football player. Great instincts. We'll have a chance to hear Andy Reid talk about him in a moment. But the Chiefs did also draft Creed Humphrey, offensive lineman out of Oklahoma, who's a very... Andy talks about him being smart and the fact that he can snap the ball with both hands. That's pretty cool. That's something that you don't really think about. An offensive lineman, that's kind of an important thing to have to do. To maybe throw defenses off a little bit, but they get him, good player, and this isn't the first time in recent years we've had to sit back on the first round of draft, the Thursday night, and see the Chiefs not have a pick. They obviously traded with Seattle for Frank Clark a few years ago. That one worked out very well, and that's what they like to do. The Chiefs have gotten really smart with the draft. They've made some great moves with their picks to bring in guys that can play right away and just be a very impactful player like Frank Clark is. They did it with Orlando Brown, the left tackle for the Ravens, traded that first-round pick to get a guy in to fill a spot that they really, really needed to fill with Eric Fisher no longer being a part of the team. And he's good. He's been to two Pro Bowls recently. And Andy Reid, for the first time yesterday meeting with the media, had a chance to talk about the Chiefs acquiring Orlando Brown.
He's a big, big man. The part that you don't know is how much he loves football. And so he comes in and with a reputation here the last 4 years and during college of a kid that will be a leader in the locker room, leader amongst the offensive line, and also somebody that loves the game. And those are all important things to us. So does he have to get in here and work his tail off, and he'll have to learn a few new techniques and that, again, all to make him better. And does he have room to continue to grow? Absolutely. Even though he's been a two-time Pro Bowler here the last couple of years, he's one of the great things about football is like being a farmer. There's always work to be done. So he'll do that. He'll get in here and work his tail off and get better. But some of those intangible things I sure like. And then again, we've had a chance to play against him here a couple different times, and he's a physical, physical guy. So we like that too.
All right, Nick Bolton, the draft pick out of Missouri, the inside linebacker, not the biggest guy, but he has great ball instincts. He hits hard. He hits really hard. I've watched a lot of the highlights of him recently, and just seeing him play for Mizzou the past few years, he's made some big hits and some big plays stopping the run and also finding the ball in the passing game. I think he had two interceptions at Missouri as a linebacker. That's pretty good. And what a story this kid is. His sister being diagnosed with cancer at a young age, his mom. This is just a great night for their family, and his dreams have come true. He's an NFL linebacker, and he's getting to play for a pretty good team right away in the Kansas City Chiefs. And he talks about the fact that he met with the Chiefs and sort of tried to make an impression on them.
Yeah, I feel like you see it on film. I'm just an ultimate competitor. I want to compete. I want to get myself in a position to make plays for a football team. I've had the ability to. So it's because being a competitor, being also a competitor, want to win. I want to be part of a legacy. I meet my mark in the NFL. So I feel like I kind of conveyed that message to them.
Some questions maybe came up on draft when he was drafted, where he's going to fit in with this defense. And Andy Reid says he's pretty versatile. He can play a couple different linebacker positions. He's fast. He's got great ball instincts. And Andy talks about where he might fit in with this defense.
He can play the Mike linebacker position, but he can also play the other positions there. So, yes, he can. We had a bit of an advantage that we have Andy Hill on staff, and Andy coached him and knows him personally, which helps. But we felt that he could help us in any of the three positions. And you can't have enough of those guys. We're a little bit short just on bodies and at that spot, at our linebacker spot. So this helps us there.
All right, so there you go. Two pretty good picks, I think. They talked about also how Brett Veach had him circled and had Humphrey circled, and it sort of fell into place where the linebacker position was getting kind of thin in the draft. I think I saw going into the draft that at the middle linebacker position, Nick Bolton was probably the fourth best player available, and it fell right into place for the Chiefs. Look, this one was a no-brainer. They picked the best player available, and that's kind of what the draft gets into. You know, you can talk about all your needs and all that, but at the end of the day, you got to wonder if just taking the best player on the board is the way to go, and it seems like that's what the Chiefs did here in taking the best player on the board. So first two picks are in. The Chiefs are going to be on the clock here for their third-round picks and their fourth-round picks, and just see how the rest of the draft plays out. And I'm sure my dad will be talking about that. He'll have a breakdown of some sorts come Monday on what the Kansas City Chiefs have done in the draft and how this team is going to look moving forward into OTAs with some new guys in place that are going to have to learn some things. Andy Reid also talked about Orlando Brown being as good as he is. He's going to have to learn some new techniques and what Kansas City does with their offense that was maybe different than what the Ravens had been doing. So it's going to be a fun spring for the Chiefs. I mean, this is a team that's going to have high expectations again, obviously, and it's going to be that way for the foreseeable future. And I'm very interested to see how these new guys come in and compete and contribute right away. So that's going to do it for this little weekend edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, breaking down the Royals, breaking down the Chiefs and what they've done in the draft thus far on Saturday morning. And my dad's going to have some good stuff for you. So be sure to subscribe to this podcast if you have not already. Can't stress how important that is. Tweet it, Facebook it, tell your friends. All that good stuff about Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, and you'll hear from my dad come Monday. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody.